Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. Amen. Everybody praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, odd as it may sound, I have something I want to talk to you a little bit about, and that is finding or facing the future in times of chaos and confusion. How do we find it? And basically, it's about getting back to the basics. Getting back to the basics. There's so much I want to tell you about it, but playing sports when I was growing up, when I was much younger, we had a baseball coach that every year before we started, there's one thing that he did every year before it all started. He would take his shoes off, then he would put his shoes back on and tie them up. We used baseball cleats and everything. And everybody said, "Why is he doing that?" He said, "If you don't do the small things right, you won't finish the game the way you want it to finish." You understand what I'm saying? So make sure the knots are tied. They're tight. They're good. You're not tripping. You're not falling. You're not stumbling. Does that make sense? So it's the little things a lot of times, and we've got to be able to get back to the basics. But I'm going to go to Psalms chapter 90. Psalms chapter 90 to glean some of these things that we want to share today. It's the oldest psalm. It's not number one. It's number 90, but it's the oldest psalm. You know how I know that? It was written by Moses when they were in the wilderness. That's when that psalm was written. So it's the oldest psalm, and it's the only one written by Moses, so they say. But he lived to be 120 years old. Well, does he have... Does he have anything to show that he can help us get back to the basics? You know, he lived 120 years old. 40 years was in the courts of Egypt. 40 years was in attending his father-in-law's sheep, and 40 years was in the wilderness leading the people. When he was, listen to this, when he went to see Pharaoh, you know how old he was? 80. 80 years old. I was telling somebody, somebody was saying, "You know, I really want my ministry. I want to do it now. I want to do it." And I said, "Don't be in a hurry." They said, "Well, no, I want it, and I want it now. I got to do it now." And I said, "Don't be in a hurry." And I said, "What do you mean don't be in a hurry?" I said, "Moses was 80. "Well, I don't want to be 80 when I start." And I said, "Well, what if that's what God wants?" All right. But see, he was 80 years old when he did that. You know, he was in his, excuse me, in his 60s or 70s. Could I have some water, please? 60s or 70s when he encountered the burning bush. See, it was in the wilderness that he encountered the very light of God. So when you're in the wilderness, you need to understand God may show up any minute, reveal himself to you for you and I to be able to say, "I see what you want me to do. I feel inadequate. I feel unqualified." And Moses did feel unqualified, feel inadequate. He said, "Okay, all you got to do is say what? Tell them I am. I am sent me. So the reason you're here is I am sent me. The reason I'm here is I am sent me." Amen? That's very important. But anyway, let's look at that. He wrote five books. He wrote the Torah. He wrote five books of the Bible. Look at Psalms 90, verse 1. "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born," think about it, "before the mountains were born, or thou didst give birth to the earth and the world." You've been a dwelling place for me before creation ever happened. He has had you on his mind before creation ever happened. That's who we're talking about. He said, even from everlasting to everlasting. In other words, start, finish, eternally. There goes my cap. I'm going to turn my water over, show the world. But I'll drink some of it so I won't spill so easy. Thank you, bro. We'll cap it off. That's true. Cap it off. Somebody said, yeah, that's fine. No, it's fine. So you begin to see from everlasting to everlasting. Then he makes these, he says these words. What are the words? You're God. He gives this picture of things of saying, Lord. And then at the end of this verse, he says, God. What's going on? Lord here means, you already ready for this? My Lord, my master. He's saying, Lord, you are my Lord, you are my master. There's a lot that wants him to be Lord, but there's so many others that don't want him to be master. Do you hear that? So he wants you, it's like, okay, he is our Lord and Savior, not just our Savior. He is a Savior to us, but he is the master. He's in charge of my life. He owns my life. So Moses is saying, you are my Lord, you are my master. How many of you can say that today? He's my master. I'm going to do what he says, even when I don't understand it, and even when it might hurt me. You hear what I'm saying? I said, okay. You begin to see that, and then he says, okay, the word is Adonai. Adonai is the word Lord here. He is my Lord, my master. It points to the supreme authority and power and rulership of God. No one else like him. You know anybody else like him? Does anybody know anybody else like him? There's no one else like him. See, you begin to see real quick, part of the basics is right here. Who is he? God is great. Is God great? Is he great? How many of you know he's great? Give him praise because he is great. He is a superior to all other gods. And he's ruler of all creation and ruler of the universe. And he's above and beyond anything you can imagine, above and beyond. He is God. He is God. That's your first back to the basics. He's God. Keep him in your mind as that's who he is. Nothing's impossible for him. He's God. He's the ruler. He's my master. He's the one that takes care of me. He's the one that watches after me. You begin to see all that. Then it says, you have been our dwelling place. Now, you know, somebody said, well, you know, it's a good place to live. Well, it's a whole bunch more than that. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 33, you can go there, you can write it down. This thing about dwelling place, here it goes. 33 verse 26. It says, there is none like God. There's none like you, God, who rides the heavens to help us. He rides the heavens to help you. Which means what? He can go anywhere. You can't outwalk him. You can't outlive him. You can't do anything without him. He rides the heavens to help you. Then he says, and through the skies in his majesty. So the heavens and his glory, his own majesty, he will travel wherever. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Then he says, the eternal God is a dwelling place. There it is again. Dwelling place. All right, well, what's up about this dwelling place? All right. Underneath are his everlasting arms. Underneath whom? Me. Underneath me, underneath you is his everlasting arms. It's not just his arms. It's his what? Everlasting arms. Forever and ever and ever. That's his arms. Under us, holding us, taking care of us. Underneath is and he drove out our enemies from before you and said, destroy. So Israel dwells in security. If you're in a dwelling place, where you dwell? In security. You have security. You're secure. You're secure in where he has you and who has you. The fountain of Jacob, secluded in the land of gain and new wine. What does that mean? His provisions. He has plenty. He's got plenty. He's not going to run out. He's not going to come up short. He's not going to come up empty. He has everything that you need. He is everything that we need. And you begin to see here that out of this thing, he says, you live in security. You have security. Be secure in where you are. Then he said, and heavens also drop down dew. See, there's your refreshing. So you get refreshing from heaven. You get refreshing from him. Have you ever been down and out? Has anybody in here ever been down and out before? And you needed refreshing? Have you men ever been cutting grass, doing something, and you needed refreshing? You had to go get some water, so you had to get refreshed. See, the Lord says, every day I'm going to bring you refreshing. I'm going to bring it every day. See, the thing is, are you now willing to receive what he's already given? So we go on, and he says, blessed are you, O Israel, who is like you, the people saved, a people saved by the Lord, who is the shield of your help. So what does he say? He said, look, there's no one like him, and there's no one like you. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's no one like you. Now say, really? There's no one else like you. He created you. That's who you are. You're here. That's who you are. No one like you. He said, the shield is your help. He said, and the sword of your majesty. So he's your defender. He said, so the enemies will cringe before you, and you shall tread on their high places. You know what he's saying here? He said, look, there's enemies that you have, but you're going to be able to. I'm going to take care of your enemies, but you're going to have to tread on their high places. On the things that they think that they've done, you're going to have to be able to walk and stand and give the truth on that high place, saying, it's God. He is the only true God. He is the only one. There is no one like him. He is my provider. So in this, he says, I'll carry you. I'll be your refuge. I'll help you. I'll make you secure. I'll protect you. I'll provide for you. My everlasting arms will always, always, everybody say always, 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 always be around you. I mean always. He'll always. Man, he'll always be around you. Not just a hug. No. An eternal embrace by his loving arms. He says, then you'll be able to tread. You'll be able to tread on their high places. He goes on, he says, I'll shield you. And this high places, he said, I'll bring you to the place of victory. He is the victory. And the Bible says we have already been given what? The victory. We're already victors. We are victorious already in him. But we walk so many times as defeated people. He wants us to get back to the basics of saying, wait a minute, who is he?
What has he done for me? And I need to stay there. I don't need to visit that place. I need to stay there of who he is. I need to constantly think about what he's done, who he is, and what he's done for me, what he's doing for me, and what he's going to do for me. See, that's just coming out of just the first few verses of Moses. How does Moses know? Do you know, generations died. As a generation that died in the wilderness. You know what? I mean, thousands and thousands of people died in the wilderness. The reason being is because they were stubborn. They would not enter his rest. They would not listen to him. And thousands of people died. And I got thinking about that, and I don't know how many, but can you imagine the number of funerals that Moses did? Do you hear? When you stop and think about that, says, you know, everybody. What did I say? All right, he's gone. Let's move on. No. You begin to think that, okay, God says we have a close, intimate, loving, eternal Father, and we have him for all generations, forever and forever and forever. Well, when are you without him? You're not. There may be times when you're not aware that he's there. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That you're not really aware, the awareness. So, no, I want the goosebumps. Give me the goosebumps all the time. You don't live on goosebumps. Goosebumps are great when I get them. You know, most of the time I get them now I'm cold. But they put me on blood thinning medicine, and somebody came to see me from the church. Somebody came to see me, and they're there for a little bit, and out of their mouth said, "Somebody's on blood thinner medicine." And why you say it's hot in here? They said it might have been 80, 85, and I said it didn't feel that way to me, you know, But anyway, you begin to understand that God is good to us. If we lose that thought, we've already begun to veer off course of what it is that he wants us to do. We can't hold him in that place. He's already in that place. He's already there. That's who he is. That's what he does. And that's what he will always do. God is not in doubt. We may have doubt, but God is never in doubt. God is never in doubt. Then he looks and said, his mind is before is on you before he ever created the mountains, before he ever birthed the earth, before the earth came into existence. He says you are already on his mind. I'm telling you, there is nobody, no one like that. And we don't need to forget. And the Bible tells us, don't forget any of his benefits. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I said, don't forget my benefits. What's he saying? Remember. Look here. It is amazing to me what God does sometimes, but mainly all the time. Look, I have a light. They sing, I have a light. It always shines. It shines in the day. It shines in the night. When the dark days come, you know what? Dark days will come. When the dark days come and the sun itself isn't bright, I will be shining, for I have a light. Now, amen. My light is the Lord. Jesus is his name. My light is the Spirit who leads me to change. My light is the Father who gave up his own. My light is the hope that I'll be with him in a heavenly home. Somebody said, you know, well, I don't wish that I'm going to heaven. I said, that word hope is not wish. That word hope is a certainty. He said, without hope, with hope, you have what? Faith. Faith comes because you have a certainty. You have a hope, not a wish. See, we say, no, I just wish. No, it's not a wish. It's, I know. When the dark days come, I'll have the light. I'll be shining. But now, there's more. I don't have time to get into it. This is just point one. So here's the issue. If you have been born again, you have an eternal light inside you. That light will always be shining. Like we had the lights to go out, his light will not go out. Now, what's the issue? The issue is it can be hidden. It can be hidden under a basket. Hide it under a basket. What? No. Say it again. No. Say it again.
No.
No. What's the basket? Something that is man-made that is covering his presence in your life. I'm going to let it shine. It's already shining. So what is he saying? I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine where? From my life. It's already shining in me. You know, have you ever been around people that says they're a Christian and then you watch how they live? Are y'all hearing me? You watch how you live. You scratch your head and it's like, well, you know. Now, we don't have to be perfect. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is what God is wanting us to get back to the basics. Basic number one is to know who he is, what he's done for you, what he's doing for you, what he will always do for you, and never forget it. So when this thing said, when the dark days do come, when the dark days do come, when your enemies do come. How many of you have enemies? Oh, about 10 of you. Okay. Hang around me for a while. I may be one of your enemies. I don't know. But anyway, we have to understand that we all have them. We all have enemies. So we're going to listen to our enemies. See, there's people that your enemies that tell you all kind of stuff. There's no truth to it. But yet we can believe the lie. And by the way, there's a lot of lies all over the place. In our nation, there are just tons and tons and tons. I believe that there's a Leviathan spirit, which is a twisting spirit that's in the sea. It twists, it takes the truth and begins to twist everything in order to be able to deceive people. They think it's the truth, but it's not the truth, and they've been deceived by a falsehood of the truth, and it's twisted. Okay. And I'm going to finish up on this one. It says, from everlasting to everlasting, then it says what? You're God. After all this stuff, you are great. You are God. Now, this word God, you know the meaning of this? It's El, E-L. This is God. He is El, like El Shaddai. He is El. What does this El mean? He says he is the most high God. He is the forgiving God, the generous God, the holy God, the capable God in strength and in power. He's every bit of that. That's El. This is God. You are God. And he's a God who reveals himself. Has God ever shown himself to you? And I'm not talking about seeing an image. I'm saying, but you see God in something. All of a sudden he reveals that he's working. And we sing that song, even though I don't feel it, he's working. Even when I don't what? See it. He's working. When's he working? He's always working. He's always got his arms around you. He'll never give out. He'll never get tired. Never. So, through it all, there's a song Terry sings it. Through it all, what's his name? Anyway, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in him through it all. And we do. We have to learn to trust. So he is. He is. He is who he is. I wished I could preach. I'd preach it. I'd preach it to you. But I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. Pastor John, maybe you can preach this sometime. So, but he's a real, he's a revealed. How do I know that? Emmanuel. Emmanuel. He's a revealer of who he is. So number one, God is great. There's no one like him. He is and has everything that you ever need at any time in your life. Basic number one is finding that place that you don't forget him. When you do go through top spots, you do go through seasons that excuse me, seem to be difficult, or there may be chaos. There may be confusion. You know, the Bible says that he is not the author of confusion. If there's confusion, he didn't author it. But in that same verse, what does it say? He is not the author of confusion, but he gives peace. He is the God that will take chaos and turn it to peace. He won't say that's peace. He'll say, I'll instead of chaos, I'll give you peace. And he says, I'll give that peace to all the saints. If you're a believer, he said, that peace is yours. I give it to you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to finish with this. It's already 12 o'clock. I'm going to finish with this story. I have a friend that was in the military. And in that military, he was in the Navy. And in the Navy, he went to be in submarines. Why anybody would want to go into a submarine, I'll never know. But he felt like submarines. He was stationed in a nuclear sub, and they carry nuclear subs. They'll carry anywhere from 100 to 150 people. Research subs are very small. They're just a handful of people. But it's something I found out was they go out for months at a time. But there's one thing that they had to do. Now they had to take care of food and had to do all that, but it wasn't the food that was the issue, it wasn't the drink that was the issue, it wasn't the air that was the issue. You know what the issue was? They had to surface. They had to resurface. Listen to this: had to resurface every 90 days. Every 90 days. Had to come back up. Now, they're carrying weapons. They're carrying missiles. They're carrying all this kind of stuff. They're military sub every 90 days. And you know what they had to do? They had to put up an antenna outside. They had to put up an antenna, and they fixed that antenna on the North Star. And then they fixed another device. They fixed it to their satellite. You know why? Because the Earth's magnetic pull, even under the ocean, the magnetic pull under the ocean had to, it would begin to reshape the calibration on their electronics. So what did they have to do? Every 90 days they would float. They would fix the antenna straight to the North Star. It don't move. It is there. And then they hit the satellite, and then they recalibrate all of their instruments to what is reality of where they are. Why do they need that? Because when they launch a missile, they want to make sure that it goes where? Exactly where the navigation is and hit the spot that they're supposed to hit. Now, y'all know where that's going. I don't know. Y'all are smart people. Y'all know where that's going. What do we need to do?
Recalibrate.
90 days. At least 90 days. 90 days. All right, today's day one. Okay.
With Psalms 90.
So you begin to see what the need is. The need is to recalibrate, to get back to the basics of what is true. And that North Star is what? True North. And by the way, I don't want to steal the thunder of Gina and Austin, but the kids' VBS this year, you know what it is? True North. We're gonna be teaching the kids not about the navigation stuff, but about he is true. You can fix everything according to him. And you realign everything about your life that doesn't match what he says. And now what you've done, you have recalibrated for the next little bit. And whenever you need to do that, read your Bible. Pray. Get into it. Get counsel when you need counsel. Get pastoring when you need pastoring. The true north. To go afloat, to recalibrate. And when they lowered, they knew all the instruments to reset. And they were reset the course. Sometimes our course needs to be reset. How many of you have ever gone off? You've sort of drifted a little bit. Has anybody ever drifted since you've been a Christian? Well, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. He said, you know, return to me. So he said, return to me. Recalibrate where we are. And then we'll set sail for where we're going. You can be off just a little bit here, but way over yonder, you're going to be way off. All right. Point one, what is it? God. Everybody say this with me. God is great. Now, don't start saying the little blessing prayer over the foods. But he is good, too. I get that. Let's see, we cannot lose our thoughts on him of saying who he is and what he's done for us. Please stand to your feet. I hope you got something out of it today. And we ask the Lord to bless you. If there's anybody, listen, it's one thing of having the light. If you do not have that light in your life, you do not have the presence of who he is in your life. You've heard about it. You maybe thought maybe you did, but you know that you're really not. Is anybody in here that says, I want him. I'm in need of him and I want him today. I want to surrender my life today. Okay, we're all believers. And see, the next thing I want you to think about is deal with the baskets. Say to your neighbor, I got to deal with the baskets. Deal with the baskets. Everything that hinders his light from showing, it darkens it. See, it will dull the presentation of who we're saying is our Lord, who we're saying he's our Savior. I remember, you know, I told you all this story. I remember one time I was years ago, I was digging in the backyard and I hit a rock that felt like it was this big around, and listen, this has been years ago. It wasn't yesterday, and I was like, rasm, fasm. So I had things coming out of me. I was a Christian. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. Now I'm sure I'm sure none of you have ever done that. I'm sure. But I had this. Brenda was standing on the deck, and she just looking at me, and I turned and looked and saw her, and here's her words, her loving words. Here's what she said: if your Sunday school class could only see you now. You know, but you know what that was? A word fitly spoken. And all of a sudden I realized even my wife is smart enough to know I ain't got no business talking like that. Deal with your basket. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this church. Thank you for this people. Thank you, God, for who you are. You won't change. You'll never change. Thank you, Father. Help us to kick off every basket. Help us to remove everything that is covering the brilliance of who you are in our life, that we may show forth your glory with our behaviors, with our speeches, with our talk, with our walk, that we would become everything that you've purposed, your eternal purpose was for us, that we'll become every one of them. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.